Happy Woo Wednesdays, everyone. So if you haven't heard, I'm doing Heck Yes Sales Breakthroughs for all wedding professionals. You pay $50 only with promo code Heck Yes. You fill out a questionnaire and they send you back like a 45 minute video. It's a business audit. It's like taking your business to the doctors. I give you tips and tricks on what to fix on your website, your Instagram, how to make it more poppin', how to get more leads, how to get more bookings, what to fix, what's working, what's not working. It's really good to get more eyeballs on your business because, yeah, sometimes people haven't refreshed their website for like a decade. So, yeah, I'm doing that right now. Hop on it. The link is going to be in the bio. So today I have Isabel Chen from Fairy Fox Digital, and she is another Pinterest queen. I met her through Ed Oyama, episode 101. We talked about ChatGPT, but today we are going to talk about how to repurpose pretty much all your social media, and it's going to save you hours in marketing. But it didn't just get my wheels spinning on Pinterest, but I just started thinking a lot about repurposing. So after this call, I started uploading my podcast on YouTube as long form content. Maybe I could get paid from sponsors. I started uploading on Shorts. I made a blog finally, which, you know, it's been 125 episodes. I haven't made a blog, and I'm starting to pin them for people to find me. So also to find me, if you guys could leave me a review, that's going to be so helpful for getting new talent here, getting good conversations. And yeah, I'm just so passionate about this podcast. But without further ado, Isabel Chen, enjoy this episode. Welcome to Get a Heck Yes with Carissa Wu. I'm your host, Carissa, and I've been a Los Angeles wedding photographer for over a decade. I've traveled the world, built my team, and seen it all. I now coach wedding photographers hit 10K a month and build a thriving business. In this podcast, we are going to deep dive into how top wedding creatives get that heck yes from their dream clients. We are not holding back on the struggles of the business and how to push through the noise. Some healthy hustle, mindset shifts, up-leveling your money story, time hacks because I'm a mom of two, a little bit of woo-woo, and most importantly, self-love and confidence are just a few of the many things we'll talk about. I want to give you a genuine thank you for following along my journey. I hope to inspire you every Woo Wednesdays so that you say heck yes to listening to this podcast. See you guys soon. Hey everyone, welcome back to Get a Heck Yes with me, your girl, Carissa Wu. I have a special guest from Australia. Her name is Isabel Chen. She's from Fairy Fox Digital. And yeah, she is amazing. I'll do your little bio in a little bit. She's a scientist turned digital marketer who specializes in Pinterest marketing and content creation. And after 4 years as a social media manager, she is passionate about showing online businesses owners how to save time when it comes to their marketing. What's up, Isabel?
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yay! And what time is it in Aussie?
6:30 a.m. in my state.
Oh, a.m.
Yes, a.m.
Oh my gosh, okay. And it is noon in LA time. So this is amazing to make friends across the world. But Isabel, like, tell everyone a little bit about you, where you're from, and what you were like as a kid. Taking it way back.
Okay. So I was born in Singapore, but the thing is I don't remember growing up there because we lived in Malaysia for a little while. And then when I was 9, we moved back to Singapore. And being, I feel like if your viewers are Asian, most of them will relate to this. So being Asian, we're pushed to study math, science, be a doctor, those sort of stuff. Yeah, so I entered science and I was studying science, but not because my parents pushed me into it. I actually enjoyed science. So what I wanted to be as a kid was a veterinarian. I wanted to work with animals. And I actually studied veterinary technology. That's like a vet, so like a vet nurse in a polytechnic. So that's a place where you go. I think it's kind of the equivalent of vocational college overseas, so you get a diploma. The unfortunate thing was after I graduated with that diploma, I worked in a vet clinic and I was allergic to something.
Oh,
So that
crazy.
plan got ditched. So
Yeah.
then I came to Australia after that, but I sort of swapped to a different science role, which was biotechnology, and worked as a scientist in agriculture for about 3 years. Was really enjoying it. South Australia, in South Australia, we have this thing called fruit flies. So this state in particular, South Australia, doesn't have any fruit flies yet. So I was working in a lab where we were researching technologies to prevent fruit flies from, like, sort of growing in number here if they do invade the state,
Oh,
which was
interesting.
really fun. But the only thing was, because it was agricultural science, so they didn't get much funding. So we were always on short-term contracts, and that was what made me want to switch careers into something else that was totally different.
Totally different.
So then I picked marketing. I picked marketing because as a child I loved drawing, but I wasn't, I guess I didn't have the chance to express the creative side of myself, and I wanted to get back to that just because I had been studying science for so many years. So then now I'm here. Now I'm here and now I'm a social media marketer and I run my own business.
Nice. How long have you been doing it?
For my own business, I really only started full time last year in June. So I had been working in a nonprofit before for about 3 years, and then I burnt out and I decided to leave because I saw that I love the work. When I was working in a nonprofit, people were referring freelance work to me and I love the work. But it was just, I was at max capacity in a nonprofit because they run on funds as well. So they were really, like, short on budget to hire marketing people.
What was a nonprofit?
So I won't name them, but they were a disability advocacy agency. And I did like working with the people there. I learned a lot of skills just because I was a marketing team of one. So I wore many hats. So now I am still a marketing team of one in my own business, but at least I have more time to focus on tasks that I enjoy, which will be Pinterest marketing and mainly content creation. I love creating videos, short little videos, and more polished kind of videos.
Nice. So you help all creatives. Do you have like a certain niche that you like helping, or do you have any
Well,
niche clients?
I would say there isn't a kind of niche client. It's more like a platform niche. So I do help with Pinterest marketing and Instagram strategy. I used to offer Instagram management, but then now I just decided to go all in into Pinterest marketing because it's the platform I really love. And it really is the best platform for someone who's running a creative business, just because you've already got those great visuals. So it translates very well on the Pinterest and performs well as well.
That's why I chose you to come on this podcast, because
Yay!
I'm not doing it and I suck. I do so much content, but I'm not repurposing it. So we're gonna get all into that in a little bit. But let's talk about you, like growing up in like Singapore or Malaysia. Like I know you said you like drawing, and you know your parents were told you to do like all the Asian stuff. But what were you like growing up, and what did you do for fun, and like how did it lead you to like this creative path? I guess you told us already, but a little bit more into your backstory.
Okay, so I'm trying to think back because it's been a while, and then my memories are all clouded over, and I don't know like which memory is based in which country.
How funny.
Yeah, so I guess as a kid, I really love drawing, and I would oh, I just remembered something. So I started drawing because I was playing this online game called Neopets. I don't know if you've played that. I've also neopets.com. So it's like a website where you can rear a virtual pet. And then you sort of have to take care of them and feed them and you travel and explore. Kind of like Pokemon before Pokemon came out.
Kind of like Tamagotchi,
So then I got really into it because I started creating stories for of my pets. And then that's when I started sketching. And there was a really good community on there as well where people sort of, you would just tell stories. There was a community of people where you could tell stories. You could go on the forum and you could join these communities and tell stories about your pets. And I just like sketching my pets on adventures.
How
But
old were
then
you at this time?
I moved to Singapore when I was 9, and I think that's when Wi-Fi, 9 or 10, Wi-Fi finally came in. Because before that it was like limited data.
Dial-up.
Yeah, it must have been 9 or 10, or maybe 11, around that age.
Oh, nice. Does Neopets still exist?
Yes, it does. But I don't know what's happened to my Neopets because I haven't logged in a while. Because you have to feed them regularly, so they might be dying.
Probably so.
I have real pets now.
Yeah, I'm so interested in people like growing up and like what shaped them. So it's funny how like this kind of app shaped you into what you are today. Tell us a little bit about, I know because you did the nonprofit and you probably did all the marketing for them. You wore many hats, but what kind of drew you to Pinterest? And I don't know, just tell us a little bit about it because I know people always do talk about it, but sometimes people forget about it too because it's like just there. So I just wanted to bring it back to surface and just kind of wake people up on getting on it, and I'm including myself.
Okay. So it's very easy. I'll explain a bit about Pinterest, but first let's bring it back to the nonprofit. As the marketing team of one, you could imagine we were trying to push out content. So this nonprofit's a bit unique. They don't rely on donations. So I wasn't involved in any fundraising. But what they did was they did a lot of storytelling. So they had a lot of videos telling stories of the people they worked with. So one example I could give was there was this guy who's blind, and blind people, the way they navigate the internet is they use a device called a screen reader, which reads out the text on screen. So his story was because there was a website that didn't have voiceover in a video, he kept getting stuck on it and he couldn't figure out what was wrong because his screen reader wasn't reading out the video. It just told him there's an image there, there's an image there. So that's all he knows, and he can't see the screen. And I guess like with these stories, what they really wanted to do was to get more views on these stories so that people are aware that there are people out there with disability who can't access, I guess, just the internet, just because it's made in a way where it's for sighted people. But maybe because you've never experienced this yourself, you're not aware of it. And because they wanted to get more views, they were always trying to churn out more content. But there was really just me, and there was this other lady I worked with who was the main videographer. So she was the one doing the polished kind of videos. I would do short skits on a mobile phone, like reels, and then I would film a little bit on a mobile phone as well. And it was just so tiring because can you imagine a team of two trying to like produce 4 videos a month? We
Oh
were
man.
so we were involved from the beginning as well. So we were the ones who like plan what to ask in the interview, and then we had to go down to shoot it. And then after we shot it, we had to edit it. It was still us. And then by the time we finished editing it, we were both so exhausted. We would swap videos so we could proofread each other's captions just in case we missed something.
it.
If anyone's a video editor, give a shout out here because I know what you're going through.
Yeah, it could take forevers in a
Yeah, it
day.
used to take us weeks just to finish a video.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I feel like just bootstrapping it, you learn so much. And then what led you to Pinterest?
Okay, so really good. So because we had all these videos, we would only share them on social media once and then never again. And I just felt like it was a waste to put so much time and effort into producing this content but not reusing it. So I was just scrolling through Facebook one day, like the company Facebook, just replying to comments, and then I saw this ad for a Pinterest challenge. So yeah, I was like you back then. So I knew a bit about Pinterest, but I didn't really know how to use it or how it worked. And I think the challenge said something along the lines of get more views, which was what the company wanted,
Yeah,
but
visibility.
in less work. And that made me really curious. So I actually signed up. It was a free challenge, and it's run by this Pinterest agency in the UK, Social Giraffe, which I then eventually trained in to become a Pinterest manager. And what we did in the challenge was we were just learning that Pinterest is kind of like a form of Google. So it's not social media at all. It works like a search engine, and people are actually going on it to find stuff, like to be inspired or to find a solution for something or to find some sort of how-to tutorial.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And I bought like, when I got my house, I got everything through Pinterest. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's really interesting. Because in Australia, I guess not many people use it for shopping. They use it for pinning vision boards, but they don't really realize they can use it while shopping. But I find a lot of people in the US, they said Pinterest is really good and they shop through it. That's interesting.
Yeah, because it feels like, I don't know, it feels more trustworthy than like sometimes Google, and you get those janky ads, and
Yes, I know
so
what you mean.
yeah, kind of right. But the Pinterest ads seem a little bit more, I don't know, sophisticated, more beautiful.
And that's because Pinterest actually has a policy that said content has to be high quality to be published on it. So they
Oh,
don't
really?
actually allow like low quality content. If your website, they don't allow people to set up shops on Pinterest if your website doesn't meet a certain standard. Like if your images are pixelated, they actually send you a warning and they give you a chance to fix it. And I guess I was really drawn to Pinterest because in that challenge, I learned how I could take the same piece of content and post it to Pinterest, but all I had to do was tweak the title. So it would be like a heading that what the pin is about, and then I could tweak the description a bit. And I could put a new image and link it to the same page, and Pinterest would count that as a new piece of content. And I found that as long as you post to Pinterest, it actually builds up. It's kind of like a snowball effect. So with Pinterest, if you keep on it regularly, like you pin stuff regularly, the views actually build up and the website visits build up eventually. It's not like social media where, sometimes it goes up and then it goes down and then it goes up and then it goes down. Yeah, it's more predictable. And that's why I really like Pinterest. And then I became a convert after I joined their management course and I learned everything about Pinterest and saw my own results.
Wow, that's amazing. Oh my God. Okay, I guess we could just not hop into it yet, quite yet, but you're a small business owner and you have amazing Instagram. So everyone check her out,
Yay.
fairyfoxdigital.com. All the colors are beautifully matchy matchy. And I binge listened to all your videos yesterday, and you talk
Oh,
about like
cool.
values and mindset and where you're from, and I got a lot of cool advice, so go check her out. So just going from corporate to, being a solopreneur, what was like the challenges and how did you overcome it? Or maybe you can answer like, how did you get your first clients?
Pardon this short interruption, but guess what? I have a new program. It's for all wedding professionals. It's called the Triple Threat. We redo your brand messaging, the homepage of your website. Part two is we do all your marketing. We create a beautiful brochure so you could start getting on preferred venue vendor list. And we do all your sales. So we actually make you a sales presentation leading your client to the heck yes, so you get paid. I have a free 20-minute demo training. It's only 20 minutes. Go to my Instagram at Carissa Wu and DM me the word demo. I will send it right over. It's how to get 10 to 15 quality leads in your inbox per month. Enjoy, guys.
Carissa Wu is a LA-based wedding photographer who's actually turning business coach. She helped me grow and change, and I'm so proud to call you coach.
Tell us how you're feeling. Like, I want to just know a little bit more about your thoughts.
It's beautiful, and you're awesome. It's beautiful. I'm speechless.
I just like the fact that it feels like myself. Like I feel myself when I see this.
Oh man. Well, you got me pumped and excited for this. Carissa, thank you.
My first client is a very interesting story. So when I was working at a nonprofit, my colleague actually referred my first client to me. I don't think he realized that was going to turn into a client. So it was someone who had someone from another nonprofit, disability support, and they had reached out to him saying they needed some help with social media because they weren't getting any inquiries from social media, and they suspected it was the way they were doing it because they got. I think they got someone at the front desk to manage their Facebook for them. And after that person started managing it, inquiries just dropped.
Interesting.
So I reached out to her thinking that she wanted advice, but she said, "I just need someone to help us run our Facebook page." And then that turned into my first client.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. And then how did you continue to get more clients? And what was like the struggle? How did you overcome it?
Oh my gosh. It's real weird. All my clients come to me in very strange ways. It's mostly word of mouth. So the second one were handstand coaches from the UK.
Interesting.
And that was because I got into, this is an interesting story. So I got into an internship with Rachel Peterson. And if you haven't heard of her, she is known as the queen of social media. So she has this course called Social Media, SMU, Social Media United, I believe. And she was giving it out for free. And then she had this free challenge. Oh, I love all my free challenges.
Totally.
Where she was teaching people about repurposing. But the catch was her free challenge had a limited number of spaces. So you had to fill in this application form explaining why you wanted to be in the challenge, and you had to follow instructions to a T.
Wow.
And out of about 9,000 people who applied over the world, I got in.
No.
And then I was selected. But I learned with her virtually how to repurpose content. So how to repurpose, she would give us YouTube videos, and then she was explaining, okay, this is how you cut it. Uh-huh. And what you have to put in to make it catchy for social media. So we were all given like YouTube videos, and you had to cut it. You had to do, and then she'll say, okay, you have to put a hook at the beginning, because a hook is what draws people in to start watching that video. And then you keep what's like the meat of it. You keep it in there. And then what you have to put in the end, which is your call to action, what you want people to do after they watch that video. So I learned a lot from her. And then as soon as I finished that training with her, I went back to this nonprofit and I said, we need repurposed videos because this is amazing and you can make so much more content just by cutting up all our long videos into short videos and pop them onto social media, and we can get more views.
Yeah. I mean, you literally asked me to have this video after so you could cut it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
To my doctor, Isabel.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I guess let's get into it. Let's get into Hot Topic. I mean, we've been talking about it, but I'll just say it for myself, but it's how content repurposing can save you hours in your marketing. And I'm extremely, extremely interested because I make a lot of content, but I don't repurpose it. So I think I'm just, I could just be getting way more eyeballs on my coaching business and photography business. So let's get into it. You have three tips for us. Go for it, girly.
Yes. Okay. So the first thing I was talking about was repurposing content and putting it on other platforms. So for example, Carissa, I don't really know what's called content. I'm assuming a lot of videos. So for example, you could take your YouTube video, cut it into shorts.
Okay.
And probably from one YouTube video, you might be able to get 3 to 5 shorts depending on how much valuable tips are in it. And then what I would do is take the video, if you post it on Instagram, post it to Pinterest. You've got to do some keyword research there to make sure that it can be found by people who are searching for the certain things that you talk in the video. And that will let you get more reach on a different platform. Because as I mentioned, Pinterest is a search engine. So it's more of where people will discover you. So you're getting new users into your world. Whereas compared to Instagram is people who are following you, who will see your videos, or a few non-followers.
Yeah. Okay, so just kind of recapping. So for me, or wedding pros that say that you make, I guess for podcasts, for me, it's easy because I could post this into YouTube, cut it into shorts, post it to shorts, and then post about it on Instagram and then pin it. So I don't have to do anything else to the Instagram post, but I literally pin it and then caption it with a cool title. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And the cool title for Pinterest has to be very straightforward because it has to be searchable. So it'd be what people literally type in Google. Maybe you're talking about wedding tips on how to pose for your wedding photos. So literally that's what the title of the pin has to be. For Instagram, you can be a bit more creative. You can be like 10 simple ways to pose for wedding photos that you haven't thought of. So that's a catchy hook. But for Pinterest, you want to be very direct. Mm. So you would remove the bit where you say that you didn't thought of. You just say 10 simple wedding photo poses.
Okay, so this is giving me ideas. So I guess this is giving me an aha moment for wedding professionals. So, you know, we all know this to educate, but I think some people like don't really care. They just want to post pretty pictures, but this is giving you an incentive to do like how-tos or give educational posts or tips and tricks, because this is what is clickbait. This is what can be repurposed. Maybe a story about the couple is not really clickbait.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good like push or a fire under your butt to hop on getting like being really educational on Instagram and then repurposing it.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. So go for it. You could finish it up with number one or go to number two.
I'll move on to number two because it leads what you said leads right into number two.
Oh, sweet.
So for number two, I'm going to talk about blog. So if you have a blog on your website, you could also repurpose that content to short form content. So for example, if it's a blog, usually it's written, right? You could turn it into an Instagram carousel. So you use similar words in it. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to think of new content ideas, but you're building more brand awareness by sharing it again. And then with those carousels, you could even repurpose it back to Pinterest as well. And Pinterest loves driving website visits out of the platform. So link a Pinterest pin to your blog. And then at the end of the blog, you have your call to action that says, book a shoot with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Blogging is not dead, guys. My blog was my baby, and people keep saying, you keep saying that in all your book, and you know, you always say your blog was your baby, but then you don't teach that anymore. So I think I really need to get back on the blogging bandwagon. I know it takes time, but it's like it lives there forever, and I think it really builds trust, because once they're on your blog, they're going to look at other blog posts and be like, oh, like this girl's legit. They're going to go deeper into who you are, your brand, like what you do for your clients. So it's much more stickier than just Instagram, because we're just like scroll. Like they don't really connect with you as much. So I love that. So blogging, you can make it into a carousel and then you can pin it and that pin goes back to your website. So it's a full like circle of life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, go for it.
And what you say about blog being much longer lasting than Instagram content, that's so true as well. Because when they search it on Google, they can still find it like 3 to 5, I don't know, 3 or 100, hundreds of years after you first published the blog. As long as they're searching for that particular topic you're talking about in the blog.
Yes, blogs live on forever. I think I did a blog post. One of my favorite blog posts was like how to make your wedding stand out. But I chose my favorite bouquets, my favorite personalized details. And it just shows like people that don't know me like, oh, this girl has experience and she's trying to help us. And also these are the type of couples that she gets, the trendy couples. So yeah. Cool. Okay. And we're going really fast, but tip number three.
So tip number three is remember that someone needs to see or hear a message at least 7 times before they buy. So when you repurpose stuff, they keep seeing the same message everywhere, and then eventually it'll click in their heads and they will book a shoot with you or they'll buy one of your products. Products is a bit easier. You don't need that much convincing. But I think for service businesses, it takes a lot of touch points for people to actually like discover you and then connect with you and realize you know your shit and then eventually buy from you.
Totally. So I guess the mindset for 7 touch points, are you saying that just seeing your content over and over, which like Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, YouTube, Shorts, like just seeing your face so many times, that's how they're going to eventually spend money on you?
Yeah, so that's kind of true, because when you see, and Rachel Peterson covered it as well, she said video content is the best way for service providers to grow, because when you provide a service, you are actually the product. So people are buying from you don't, and that's why I hate the current faceless view trend, because it doesn't show, they all look the same. I can't tell the difference, even if it's a different person, it still looks the same. When you provide a service, it's so important to show your face, because you are the reason why people buy from your business. Like people want to be near you, people want to work with you. And with video, there's this effect where Rachel Peterson calls it. She said it's called a parasocial effect. It feels like you know them because you've watched so many of their videos. So when they eventually buy from you, it's so easy to talk to them and show them how you can help them, because they've already binge watched all your content, and then they know what you offer and they know how you can help them, but maybe they're not really clear on which offer is right for them, so you just gotta recommend stuff to them.
I love that. Okay, so say people listening right now, they're all wedding professionals, and they love listening to this episode, but they're kind of like, where do I start now or today or this week? What would you tell them to do just to kind of, because I know even like getting on Pinterest could be intimidating, or Tailwind to pin for you, or even YouTube Shorts. So where would they start?
I'm excited to share with you all about our first Get a Heck Yes sponsor, 17 Hats. I've been using this CRM company for over a decade, and I've been referring them to all my frienders for all this time. I always know when I'm going to get paid, and most importantly, I get paid. So here is a question. What is holding you back? What's keeping you from finding success as a small business person? It's not passion. The fact that you're listening to my podcast shows that you're eager to learn and get better. Know what holds you back is all the chaos of business, paperwork, mailed invoices, and no systems to handle it all. That's where 17 Hats comes in. 17 Hats is a better way to manage your small business. It's an all-in-one platform that streamlines everything from lead capture to client communication to click and you're done automated invoices. 17 Hats paves the way for success you deserve by giving you back hours in your day. Find what success looks like for you with 17 Hats. Get started for free at 17hats.com and use my code HECKYES, and it's gonna give you guys 50% off your first annual membership. How amazing is that? Back to the show.
I would recommend they hop on the call with me, because each marketing situation is really unique, because it really depends on how they're getting most of their sales right now. Because if they're getting them mostly online, then I would talk about online methods and what would work for them. But if they get them mostly through referrals, then probably that's what you want to focus on. So because I have a background as a scientist, I'm very data driven. So I look at the data and see if this is where you're making most of your sales, then that is obviously what we should focus on. And then we can think of other ways to grow awareness. So if you're getting most of your sales through in-person referrals, that's what I recommend you focus on for sales. But then for Instagram and for Facebook, you can focus more on awareness kind of content so that you reach new people, new customers. Yes. Yeah, and then it's less draining that way. Yeah, it's less draining because you're not really relying on Instagram just to bring in sales. You've got like different options available to you, and you know it works because it's already bringing you a few sales. You just got to like put more effort into it.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit about hopping on the call with you, because it's very generous of you to offer this to our listeners, our Heck Yes listeners. But I guess before that, what is your best Heck Yes sales technique for yourself?
Shut up and listen to people. There are so many people who do not listen to their customers. So listen to them. Listen to them when they're on a call with you. Listen to them when they vote in your polls and Instagram. Like, what are the biggest struggles? What are their goals? What do they want to achieve working with you? And then think about how your offer can help them. So it comes from a place of helping. And I know a lot of people, they say, I don't like selling because selling feels salesy to me. And that's because you've probably experienced, you know, the sleazy car salesman that's trying to get you to swap to a more expensive car rather than the car you want. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be sleazy. So when you sell from a base of wanting to help people, you are actually doing your customers a service because they are struggling with that particular thing. And when you listen to them, you know exactly which of your services would be right for them and what you're struggling with and how it can help them. Because even if you can't help them, and you've listened to what they're struggling with, you might know someone else who is able to help them. I've also referred a few people who came to me because because I don't offer that service and we might not be the right fit. So I just refer them on to someone else and they're grateful.
I love that. Yeah, that's a really, really good one. What is your best content creation hack or time saver?
repurposing. Oh, yeah, That's what the whole topic has been about. Repurposing everything.
How before that, like actually creating the content, what is your thought process?
My thought process is it's always about them and not me.
Okay.
So think about what your dream customers, what is their struggles. So for wedding photographers, it would be maybe they don't know how, I'll give the example, they don't know how to pose on their wedding day, or they don't know what sort of flowers to get, or maybe they're looking for a particular style of wedding, like a Gothic wedding, and then they don't really know who to reach out for flowers and for the right venue and all that. So think about what they're struggling with and try to create content that helps them solve that struggle.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. So it's always about them. It's never about you. Unless you're telling them a story about yourself, then it's about you.
Yeah. Do you know, I think her name is Mommy Diaries. I haven't followed her for a long time, but she's pretty famous mommy blogger on Instagram. And my sister went to high school with her, but she asked her, like, how does she get big? And she said, Pinterest.
Yeah. Oh, she sounds kind of familiar. I might have heard of her.
Yeah. I think Mommy Diary, Korean girl. But I think, are there any like apps that you could help you to stay consistent? I mentioned the app like Tailwind, which kind of helps you just pin all your blog posts at one time and it schedules it for you. Any other apps that you recommend?
So Pinterest itself has a scheduler as well, but I believe you can only do it 2 weeks out. So you can only schedule 2 weeks ahead.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of apps, but Tailwind is actually the recommended one for Pinterest just because they are partnered with Pinterest. The other one I use for social media is Metricool.
Okay.
And I like that one as well because it's very visual. So I like it because the visuals are nice and it's pretty and it's colors and it's like rainbowish. Uh-huh. But I use that mainly for Facebook and Instagram just because I hate Meta's scheduler because it glitches too much. So with Metricool, I find it keeps me very consistent because I can see in colors visually what's actually the best time to post. It shows me a more intense sort of pink when my followers are online, and then it's kind of paler when they're not online. So obviously I post close to when they're online so that I have the highest chance of my content being seen. And it also can do non-social media platforms. So it can do Google My Business, which Ed Oyama might have talked about. It's very good for boosting visibility for local businesses. So Metricool can schedule posts for Google My Business as well. And it can also track how many visits you get to your website. So you can see if most of those visits are coming from Pinterest and you know that it's working.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool. Oh, yeah. That's what I thought we met through Ed Oyama from Super Simple Marketing.
Yeah.
He was on this podcast as well, talking about ChatGPT and content creation. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I guess any last words about Pinterest before we get into rapid fire questions?
Not really. I guess I've mostly talked about Pinterest through this whole interview. I don't really have any other words. Just be consistent and think of how you can help your customers.
There you go. That's a good mic drop moment. Okay, rapid fire questions. You talk a lot about like values on like your Instagram. What are your like top values and kind of describe them, how they shape your business?
I guess when you go to my Instagram, you can see I'm really big on community. I have a lot of people I collab with, Ed in particular, we collab a lot. So that's my first value, community, because I believe as a small business owner, as an online business owner, it's very difficult to grow online by yourself, especially when you're first starting out. So you always need the community there to support you. And even on days when I don't feel like showing up, I know there's someone out there cheering for me. So it makes me want to show up. And also I like talking to people. I like talking to people.
Yeah, I could tell you're super bubbly.
Yeah.
I love that.
At 6 in the morning.
I know. I'm like, that's bubbly. You are safe for doing that. I was going to say, maybe another time hack that you have besides all this repurposing, because I'm sure you're a time hack whiz, scientist whiz.
Oh, and I'm time hack as a scientist. Don't try to multitask. Focus on one task at a time. I used to be the person that multitasked all the time, but I found it just kept me really distracted. So I would jump from one task to another. And then when I went back, I would forget what I was working on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so try to focus on one task at a time. I know this doesn't work for all people, but I actually use a Pomodoro timer. Oh, so it's got like 20 minutes of work and then 10 minutes break.
Yeah, and I tried that too.
Yeah, and some of them didn't work for me, but I found this YouTube channel that has Pomodoro timers that works for me, and it's called Pomodoro Cats. So it just has rain sounds. So I find with the other Pomodoro timers, the ticking just distracts me.
Yeah.
But with this one, it just has a rain sound, and then when it's time for your break, it stops, and there's no sound.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And it has cats. It has cute little, I love cats. It has cute little pixel cats walking around the screen.
Oh, how funny. I love that. Yeah,
Pomodoro Cats, that's the YouTube channel.
I'll Google that right when I get up.
It also has Studio Ghibli music as one of the timers. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love Ghibli music. Okay, what do you like to do for fun, Isabel?
I do this thing called aerial silk. So it's like a circus thing. So it's two fabrics in the air and then we do tricks on it. And I really like that. I've been doing it for about three or four years now.
Wow, you must have a really strong core and arms.
That's what everyone says. That's what everyone says. But I feel weak because you keep advancing in difficulty and then you feel weak each time.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I never tried it, I don't think. But they have it at my daughter's dance class. So
yeah, you should try it. It's really fun once you do it. Because it doesn't feel like you're doing exercise. But then you're
like running like crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I guess last more deeper question for everyone. Say someone's listening and they just want more leads. They just want to make it. They want to be the next like big vendor. And they're just feeling kind of down because it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them to get them out of their head today and just make it happen?
Oh, I would say everything takes time. Like it takes time to get where you are. And don't compare yourself to someone. Like if you're just starting out, it's your day one. And don't compare yourself to someone who's on their day 356 or something.
Yeah.
Because I feel that on social media, it's so easy to fall into the comparison trap. But you don't know what they've struggled with to get there. And maybe they've already been at it for 3 years, whereas you're just starting out and you're comparing yourself to them. It's not an even playing field.
Yeah, I love that. I really love that. Cool. Okay, so tell everyone where to find you and your very generous freebie.
Yeah, so head over to Instagram. That's where I'm most active, even though I teach Pinterest. So it's Fairy Fox Digital on Instagram, and I am also Fairy Fox Digital on Pinterest, if you want to go to my Pinterest account. And I have a complimentary 30-minute map out your marketing call that I'm offering right now. There's actually 7 available this week.
Maybe next
week, because I'm actually going on holiday at the end of this week, so I don't know if they're still available. I might not have enough time, so it's available. So if you are feeling really lost in your marketing right now and you don't know what to focus on, or you just need clarity, you need to work out if Pinterest is right for you, if you've got so many marketing questions, just book in a free 30-minute map your marketing call with me and you'll walk away with more ideas than you could imagine. That's what the previous people have done that call. They had so many ideas afterwards.
Hey, I'm going to book my call today.
Yeah, it's on my Instagram bio, I believe. The link is there. And it's in most of my content as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll link it up for everyone on my show notes and all your Instagram and Pinterest as well, because I'm excited to look at it. But Isabel Chen, this is great to talk to you. You gave so many like great gold nuggets today, and I'm getting excited about Pinterest again. Yay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me this week on Get a Heck Yes with Carissa Wu. Make sure to follow, subscribe, leave a review, or tell a friend about the show. Take a screenshot and post to IG. Tag me. Also, don't forget to download my free guide on how to become a lead generating machine. See you next time, wedding pros.